I'm Marty Moscoen, and you're listening to Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. This past Monday, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld an Ohio law that purged voters from registration lists if they hadn't voted for a number of years and didn't respond to a card mailed to their address checking their whereabouts. The ruling was 5-4, and the majority opinion was written by Justice Alito. Critics claim it will hurt infrequent voters, it'll hurt the poor and people of color. They also say it violates the National Voter Registration Act and the Help America Vote Act and could lead to voter disenfranchisement. We asked Mark Joseph Stern to join us. He covers the courts and law for Slate, joining us from the Slate studios. Mark, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Thanks so much for having me on.
This case involved a guy named Larry Harmon, a software engineer. Tell us about him and how his case led to the courts.
Right. So he, along with a number of other voters, found themselves purged from the rolls in Ohio due to something called the supplemental process that Ohio uses and that was pioneered by Ohio's Republican Secretary of State. And this is a process designed to, quote, clean up the voter rolls by removing individuals who have moved from the address on their voter registration card that's on file. And what Ohio does is it flags voters who have not voted in 2 years, so over the last federal election, and based solely on their failure to vote in one federal election over a two-year period, it identifies them as voters to potentially be purged. It then sends them a card in the mail that honestly looks a lot like a CVS mailer.
Really?
Frankly, like a piece of junk mail, yes. It does not scream official document on it. And then it monitors them over the next two federal election cycles, so that's usually about a four-year period. And if they don't respond to that mailer, as this individual did not, and if they don't vote over that period, as this individual and other litigants in the case did not, they are purged from the rolls, often without their knowledge. And we've seen, particularly in this case, individuals show up to the polls. They say, now's the time. I'm ready to vote again. And they are told, actually, you have lost your registration. It's a sort of use it or lose it scheme that Ohio has pioneered and that will now likely spread to other states.
Do we know how many people in Ohio could not vote because they had been purged?
So the number that's been floated is about 1.2 million people over the several-year span during which Ohio used this scheme. About 1.2 million were likely purged because of their infrequent voting. And a shockingly disproportionate number of those people lived in minority and or low-income communities. So we know that these purges, regardless of their intent, do have a disparate impact on voters of color, lower income voters, as well as veterans and the disabled.
What was Alito's, who wrote the opinion, obviously the majority opinion, but what was his argument for purging voters?
Well, you know, the statute in question here is called the National Voter Registration Act, passed in 1993 by a Democratic Congress, signed into law by President Bill Clinton. And this law is really one of our most important voting rights statutes. And it was designed to protect individuals' right to vote or not to vote. And so the law states very clearly that no state program to clean up the voter rolls shall result in the removal of the name of any person by reason of the person's failure to vote.
And that's a
direct quote from the statute. So the litigants here, they argued that they were being purged because of their failure to vote. They were identified solely on the basis of skipping one election cycle and then purged because they sat out two more federal election cycles. But what Justice Alito argued is that the state was simply using their decision not to vote as evidence that they had moved and used as further evidence their failure to mail back that card that was sent to them after they skipped that first election cycle. So to Justice Alito and the majority, failure to vote was not the reason that they were purged. It was evidence along with another piece of evidence that they were purged. And so Ohio's program comports with the NVRA.
Justice Breyer, and I'm not going to quote him verbatim or anything like that, but he essentially, his argument, and he was part of the dissent, was that about 4% of people in this country move from 1 year to another, and that in the 2014 midterm election, about only about 40 1% of registered voters in Ohio actually did vote that year. So there's this weird disconnect between people who don't vote and people who move. I mean, it's a kind of a mathematical argument, but that seemed to be essentially what he was saying, that you cannot connect these two.
Yes, absolutely. And further, that the NVRA does not allow states to connect these two. I mean, there's a policy question lurking here, right? Whether infrequent voters should have to re-register if they sit out a few election cycles. That is a legitimate policy dispute. But what Justice Breyer says is that policy question is answered by the federal statute in question here. Mm. Congress wanted to and expressly declared its intent to protect individuals' right to vote again or not to vote. And so infrequent voters under the NVRA should not have to worry that they will be purged from the rolls just because they sat out an election. And so every other state uses other forms of evidence to identify voters who may have moved from their address on file. Usually this program that the United States Postal Service conducts that will notify state governments when mail is returned as undeliverable, when it appears from mailing evidence that an individual no longer lives at that address. And Ohio said, we're not just going to use that. We're also going to use their failure to vote in one election. And Breyer says, no, 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 you can't do that. That is beginning the purge process based solely on failure to vote. And that's what the NVRA was designed to prohibit.
But it sounds like it's also failure to return a card or a letter.
Right. Well, that's Justice Alito's argument. And the majority and the dissent go back and forth over this. You know, to Justice Breyer, because this entire purge process begins based solely on an individual's failure to vote, it clashes with the text of the NVRA. But to Justice Alito, it comports with that text because there is another piece of evidence that comes into play, failure to return this letter. Mm-hmm. And so there's a very vigorous dispute over what precisely the text commands and what it forbids here, and it's a difference of night and day between the majorities and the dissenters. You'd think they were reading a different statute, but instead they're really fighting over the same couple of dozen of words.
Let me just reintroduce you. That's Mark Joseph Stern. He covers the courts and law for Slate, and we asked him to join us in this portion of Radio Times to talk about a Supreme Court ruling earlier this week that Ohio and perhaps other states might follow suit, that Ohio can purge voter registration rolls for people's essentially failure to vote. What do you think about this? 1-888-477-9499. You can send an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Mark, do you see other states following suit, or do other states have similar laws like Ohio?
So no other states currently have identical laws, but I am fairly certain that other states will now follow suit because starting about a decade ago, we started to see a revival among particularly Republican secretaries of state interested in cleaning up their voter rolls. Critics call it purging their voter rolls and trying to get as many voters off the list as possible if they suspect those voters are no longer lawfully able to vote from their current addresses. So John Husted, the Secretary of State of Ohio here, who was the named defendant, he pioneered this program, and it was really a test of the limits of the NVRA. He sort of went out on a limb to create the most extreme purge process to see if it would comport with the law in the courts. Now that the courts have ratified it, essentially, we are absolutely, I think, going to see other secretaries of state, almost exclusively Republican secretaries of state, engage in very aggressive voter roll purges, citing this decision, saying the Supreme Court has blessed it, and trying to get as many names off those rolls as possible once individuals skip elections.
But is the argument that there is illegal voting going on, or just that these lists are just a mess?
Well, it's a mix. You know, the official argument in court is that the NVRA actually requires states to make a reasonable effort to keep their voter rolls up to date. And that is absolutely correct.
Sure.
The NVRA struck this balance. It created all of these safeguards against purges, but it also said, look, states, you have to try to keep these rolls up to date. And so what the secretaries of state who are doing this argue is that this is just a reasonable part of keeping those rolls current and contemporary. But they will also often use this secondary argument that if you have bloated voter rolls, if you have outdated voter rolls, that opens the door to potential voter fraud. We've seen vanishingly little evidence that that is true, virtually no evidence of voter fraud in this country, certainly no evidence of widespread fraud, but it has become a talking point on the right. And so it's, I think, a powerful rhetorical argument to back up these purges.
And voter fraud can mean different things depending on who's saying it, but it's really in-person voter fraud that does not exist. Correct?
Yes, that's right. Voter impersonation at the polls is what we usually mean when we talk about voter fraud. And that is why a number of states have passed these voter ID laws, allegedly. They say, well, we have to ensure that no one impersonates a dead person when they go vote at the polls. That really more or less doesn't exist. There is evidence of occasional voter fraud by, say, absentee ballot. And we've seen some instances of, for instance, an elderly widow filling out her recently deceased husband's absentee ballot and sending it in. But for various reasons, legislators haven't generally targeted those voters. The cynical explanation is that they tend to be affluent white people who are more likely to vote Republican, and these voter fraud measures are generally sponsored and pushed through by Republicans.
You mentioned the NVRA, the National Voter Registration Act. There's also the Help America Vote Act. Do you see Congress getting involved in this or revisiting some of this legislation?
Well, I think that if Democrats ever take Congress again, protecting voting rights has to be very high on their agenda because the base is really riled up about this. And Democrats recognize that protecting voting rights is the right thing to do, they believe, morally, but also politically, because as we discussed, the individuals who are disproportionately disenfranchised by these laws do tend to vote for Democrats. So I absolutely think that there is a chance Democrats could revisit the NVRA and the Help America Vote Act, amend it to make clear that purges like Ohio's are unlawful, and also introduce other pieces of legislation that help individuals vote faster, help them register more easily, expand access to the ballot. You know, the Constitution gives Congress really broad leeway to regulate states in this area, and I think that's a power Democrats are eager to use.
But just you mentioned earlier that in the National Voter Registration Act, it says that you cannot be purged if you don't vote, and yet that's exactly what the Supreme Court ruled.
Yes, that's right. And so I think, you know, this has happened in the past where the Supreme Court issues a ruling, Congress comes in and expressly overturns that ruling because the ruling was based on a wrong interpretation of a statute. The Civil Rights Act of 1991, for instance, was really just Congress's effort to overturn a slew of conservative Supreme Court decisions that restricted employees' rights under federal civil rights law. And that's what a number of Democrats are talking about doing now if they ever get a majority again in Congress, is looking at what the Supreme Court has done to a number of federal statutes on voting and also on, say, collective bargaining, another big blow that the Supreme Court issued this term, and essentially revising those statutes to say, we meant what we said, and now we are going to say what we mean. The Supreme Court got it wrong, and we're going to correct them. That's perfectly within Congress's power.
Mark, let me see what Kate from Kennett Square has to say. And Kate, go ahead. You are on Radio Times.
Good morning, Marty. Thanks for having me.
Sure, go ahead.
So I've worked in social services and different community advocacy for a while in this area in Southern Chester County. And, I mean, the comment about the mail and someone not checking their mail is very pertinent. People living in poverty or somebody with housing instability, for that matter. I mean, I don't even check my mail as closely as I should. And imagine if you're living in a crisis or if you are moving between housing situations, this would affect disproportionately people who are going through any kind of instability, whether based on housing or their just any crisis in their lives, which tends to come, you know, people living in poverty. So I think it's ridiculous that to base somebody's ability to stay registered to vote on how on top of their mail they are, because that's not something that everyone's going to be able to address at the same level.
Well, Kate, I appreciate the call. And Mark, I mean, are these the kinds of people that you're talking about that will be disenfranchised?
Yes, unfortunately. And this is a point that Justice Sonia Sotomayor brings up in her solo dissent in this case. Justice Breyer wrote the principal dissent, but she wrote separately to point out that, look, this law obviously has a disparate impact on some of the most vulnerable individuals in America who still have a fundamental constitutional right to cast a ballot. Low-income communities, minority communities, again, the disabled, veterans, individuals who move frequently, who have housing instability. These people have a fundamental right to vote, but Ohio is effectively stripping it from them by engaging in these purges based only on failure to vote and failure to check mail and see one piece of mail from the state that looks, again, like a CVS coupon. It's a powerful point, and I think Justice Sotomayor is essentially inviting a separate challenge to this law based not on the NVRA's failure to vote clause, but on its prohibition on any voter suppression that has a disparate impact on minorities.
We're almost out of time, and I was going to ask you about that, whether you see a case making its way through the courts to challenge what the Supreme Court just did.
Yes, there is a very strong argument that because all of the evidence points to the direction of voter suppression of racial minorities, that this law may violate Federal Voting Rights Act. But the same Supreme Court that decided this case would be the court to decide that one eventually. And I don't see the court saying, oh, well, maybe we got it wrong the last time. We'll get it right this time around. The justices don't tend to change their minds that easily.
Mark Joseph Stern, thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Time.
Thanks so much for having me on.
You're very welcome. And he covers courts and the law for Slate, the third of three guests in this hour of Radio Times, covering a fair amount of news territory. Go to WHYY.org/Radio Times to find out more about the program. You can download a podcast of the show. Find us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. You can check us out on Instagram as well. And you can sign up for our newsletter. Diana Martinez, the engineer for today's edition of Radio Times, help from Joyce Lieberman, as she often does. Debbie Bilder, John Ahrens, and Alex Stern are the producers of Radio Times. I'm Marty Moscowane. Thank you for joining us.